Hi, everybody. Welcome to New Life Live. Steve Arterburn here with Dr. Dave Stoop and Dr. Jill Hubbard. And your phone calls here at 1-800-229-3000. We think this is a great day for a new life.
I really appreciate your program.
We married a little over 19 years, but exactly a year ago, I committed adultery.
So basically, I have a choice between living a celibate life by myself or going to hell.
What happens is when God's structures aren't kept in place, then things kind of get upside down.
There may need to be another church split. You may need to split and find a church that has an active children's minister versus saying something like we're uncomfortable being around a mom and a daughter.
It seems like there's a real disconnect between how she sees things and how you see things.
There's not much that's honorable in her. Maybe the only thing you can honor her for is for giving you life.
Well, hi, everybody. Welcome to New Life Live. Steve Arterburn here with Dr. Dave Stoop. Hello, Dave.
How are you, Steve? Welcome back.
Thank you. Good to be back. And
hi,
Dr. Jill Hubbard, star of NBC Nightly News.
Oh, yeah. I had a little action while you guys were away in Israel. Yeah, I did a little news bit. It was really fun.
Wow.
It was based on Senator Wiener's sex
indiscretion.
Scene.
Yes.
Yeah. And it was really good. You did such a great job.
Oh, thanks. Wow. Thanks. It was really fun.
Yep. And so really glad you got to do that. We missed you guys. Wish you had been on the ultimate Israel trip.
It was phenomenal. We were thinking about you, praying for you.
And heard you were exhausted.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. Well, all you have to
envying that part.
Yeah. If you listen to yesterday's show, that's a little bit of an indication. But
yes.
I'm coming back. Anyway, it was a great trip. I was able to baptize Madeline in the Jordan River.
Wow.
And for Father's Day, my wife gave me a black and white photo of Madeline and I there by the river. And
I
was baptized when I was 9 and not baptized since. And I don't know if I knew what I was doing then or not, but Mylon baptized me in the Jordan River, and that was a great time. But we had a wonderful time. I'll tell you, we have the best New Life people. There was no maintenance problem with people. You know, everybody was just, they got along. We had a great time.
Mm-hmm.
And I really believe God was honored there. And we're working on next year's trip. And tell you, after you go to the Holy Land, it's kind of difficult to think about going to the Bahamas or something.
Right, where to go next.
So
we're
really looking at footprints of Paul and his missionary journey.
Mm-hmm.
We
hmm.
think that would be really, really good.
Yeah.
Hey, you know, I've talked about this reality show that I've been working on. I taped it before I left for Israel.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. And?
And I just got 2 segments that are edited, and it is amazing.
Wow.
I cannot wait to be able to tell people when it's going to be on.
Hmm.
But these were it's a Christian couple, and they end up, I mean, he literally becomes a man in 5 days, and she makes so many changes. And they just say everybody should go through this dating process. It's not really dating. It's kind of like 5 interviews before you tie the knot. And so I'm looking forward to telling everybody about that. And by the way, if somebody wants to see Jill's piece on NBC, you can get it on the website. Go to newlife.com.
Cool.
It's right there. Just click on it, and you can see.
You can't miss it. I'm in bright orange.
No. That's
bright orange lips. Thought I might need to rethink that. But
wow.
Well, we're glad you're here, and hope that you have a great day today, and that this starts it off for you if you're on the West Coast. But we've got a weekend coming up, July 22nd. And that's the Healing is a Choice New Life Weekend. When we come back, I want Dave to take a minute, tell us why he recommends people to go to this, because several people from Dave's private practice have ended up at a New Life Weekend, and I want to talk about that. If you want to join us on the program, 1-800-229-3000. That's the number. And if you need some help while we're here, direct help, it's 1-800-NEW-LIFE, or you go to newlife.com. We'll be back right after this break.
At New Life, we are passionate about helping people experience recovery. And it's no exception when it comes to recovery from the addiction to drugs or alcohol. We are very grateful to have found what we believe is the premier facility to offer a Christian 12-step model of care. It treats the whole person and offers biblical values as the foundation for treating the mind, body, and spirit. Our partner in drug and alcohol addiction provides exemplary medical and psychiatric care, as well as Christian-based psychotherapy, pastoral counseling, biblical studies and meditation, educational groups, worship and prayer, and a Christian 12-step program. The approach is non-denominational and guides the patient to experience freedom through a renewed relationship with Jesus Christ. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE if you or someone you love is struggling with drug or alcohol addiction. That's 1-800-639-5433 or go to newlife.com. 1-800-NEW-LIFE, 1-800-639-5433.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now, back to the program.
We're back. Steve Arterburn here, and I mentioned the New Life Weekend. And Dave, why is it that you feel like, as a private clinician, it's a good thing when somebody takes a break and gets away for the weekend?
Well, you know, in the old days, we used to have hospital programs where people could go and spend a week or 2 weeks, and dramatic changes in mm-hmm. their life because of that. And then insurance kind of put the kibosh on that. Mm-hmm. And there's something about the intensity of what goes on in that weekend. You know, there's like 9 hours of group, about 6 hours of teaching that is like what we used to do when we had the programs in the hospital. Mm-hmm. So when somebody is kind of stuck, you don't have to be seriously, you know, deranged or anything like that. I think anybody, you know, I've got somebody that I'm seeing that where it's kind of stuck and we're not, you know, we're having a tough time with breakthrough for something. Those are the ones that I say, hey, you ought to do this weekend. Mm-hmm. And I've had incredible experience with them coming back as different people. And I just want to emphasize that you don't have to be seriously, you know, maladjusted. It's if you're kind of stuck someplace in your life and you're kind of stuck even maybe in your counseling, this doesn't take the place of your counselor, but it like adds a year's worth of counseling to your experience to where you're a year ahead of yourself when you come out at the end of the weekend from where you went in.
I really believe that to be true. And when you get to be my age,
those years are precious.
you realize that we don't have that much time. Jill, you
were
going to say something.
And don't you think going to a weekend workshop feels a lot better to most people than getting to the point where they have to be admitted into the hospital?
Oh, definitely, yeah.
So mm-hmm. it really is preventative mm-hmm. for, you know, those people that really do break down.
Yeah, but we've had some people close to being broken down.
True.
Come, and
true.
You've been there. You've
yeah,
seen the
absolutely.
Transformation. And
it's
we've amazing. Had people who are, you know, just kind of stuck. And mm-hmm. you have that whole range.
The whole, yeah,
and,
definitely.
It touches each life in a very unique way.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, the material is the healing is a choice material. And I just love seeing people use that material and watch the transformation occur. If you're interested, you call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE or go to newlife.com. It really could make all the difference in your world and the world of the people that live around you. In fact, someone that lives around you might pay your way. I'm not sure. But do something before it gets any worse, and certainly do something before you give up. This, for so many people, has been a last-ditch effort. And it has worked out for them. They have discovered some new things that they didn't know was there, like love in the relationship. They mm-hmm. they thought it was gone, and it wasn't. So you call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE or go to newlife.com.
Yeah, there's a track for couples, too. That
yes.
I've sent people to that, and you see the same thing.
Mm-hmm. All right, I want to talk with Jill from Longwood, Florida. WTLN is the station. Hello, Jill. Good. You're on with Dave, Steve, and Jill.
Yes.
Hi.
Hi, Jill.
Hi, Jill.
How could we help?
Well, I really wanted to just see if maybe I can get some insight into some behavior that I've been dealing with my husband for quite a while.
Okay, what is the behavior?
Okay, well, it seems as though when I'm not in the mood or when I'm not well or tired or whatever, he seems to get very angry with me.
Really?
He won't talk. He'll become very distant. He'll alienate himself. He'll sometimes just make comments that seem they're just like rude. And I feel as though he's not being very sensitive toward what's going on with me at that moment.
Mm-hmm.
And then it seems as though when I start, you know, like if I have a cold or something, I'll start getting better. And then he just, like, snaps out of it, and he's fine. And, there's another thing that happens after our time together.
Okay, what's that?
It's just looking at other women to the point of, like, sometimes almost breaking his neck. And I've confronted him, and I've asked him not to do that, especially when I'm around. And, you know, he denies that it's happened, but it's happened so many times, and I'm reached a point where I just feel like I don't want to have anything to do with my husband anymore.
Mm-hmm, dear.
That's understandable, Jill.
Yeah.
Was his mother sickly when he was growing up?
Yes, she was. She was.
Yeah. So that's what this takes him back to that, and that's what he's reacting to.
Okay.
And it's not you that he's reacting to. It's a memory, you know, of his needs not getting met because mom's sick. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That you might talk to him about that, and not in a situation where you're sick, but you, in terms of, you know, tell me more about what happened when you were a kid and mom would get sick. Talk to me about that. Just because sometimes when we talk about those things, it rearranges it in our brain to where we experience it differently. We can kind of grow through it. It's amazing how that can happen. So I'll talk to you about that one.
So he's reacting like a little boy,
like a little
having
boy,
a tantrum, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right.
Because
exactly.
Then he acts like an adolescent when he breaks his neck trying to follow a woman. Yeah.
Right.
Well, you know what else? Just thinking about this, in some sex addicts or lust addicts, you know, if you didn't get the attention of your mother, you just go looking for that attention the rest of your life. And you can kind of be propelled to look at other women. And so I'm just making a case that these two things might go hand in hand.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, very well.
Mm-hmm. I kind of agree with the attention thing. I've mentioned that to him, too. Is it just a matter of, you know, wanting to get the attention? But it's very painful.
Yeah.
Hey, Jill, let me suggest something to you. When he does that, join in with him. You know, say, which one are you looking at? You know, and you turn and you look and say, no, that she's kind of average. What was it that you were trying to that drew your attention to her? And just have a conversation. You're not putting him down. You're not, you know, it's like. You know, what typically happens, you know, you're the wife, I'm hurt, you know, it doesn't feel good, and then he feels like a jerk, which he is, even to where you point someone out to him that he maybe missed and say, didn't you see her? She was pretty nice, you know, or look at that one, look how she's dressed, and it's amazing what can happen if you pull it off, you know, to where it normalizes it, and it's like there's not the secrecy to it that is such a draw.
Well, you're bringing out
addiction
into the open.
Yeah.
what it is that he's exactly looking at.
Yeah,
right.
Uh-huh.
What's
and
the
is,
attraction? What's
it is the opposite of acting like you didn't see him or nagging at him when you do see him.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's a different approach that, you know, the nagging thing just makes him more appreciative of the person he's looking at.
Right.
So it is.
You know, a number of years ago, we were in Spain and we were at the beach there at Marbella, and they're topless, you know, and it's like, it'd be easy to be kind of awkward about it all, but my wife and I were saying, well, what about that one? Look at that one, you know. And it was like we kind of had fun with it, and it mm-hmm. normalized it. It wasn't something that was kinky or weird feeling. It was just kind of like, ah, big deal, you know. So if you can kind of draw him into that conversation, it may take a while for him to believe that you're serious about it, but that's all I've ever found that works in that situation, is that type of thing.
What do you think about that, Jill?
I don't know if I could pull it off. I mean, mm-hmm.
Well, because you pouting or being upset is a little bit similar to him having his tantrums when you're unavailable to him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. And yeah. The result is you both kind of pull back and you're all alone.
Mm-hmm.
So in this way, you're moving toward him. And when things are out in the open, they tend to lessen. And not be the big deal, because that, you know, mm-hmm. Like you mentioned, the secretiveness,
yeah, you're
the illicitness.
You're saying you bring it into the light,
yeah,
and that's what God tells us to do, and bring these things into the light. If they stay in the darkness, then it becomes like an addiction where I've got to sneak mm-hmm. around and do it.
Mm-hmm. Well, on Sunday, I was preaching, and I said that men need to have the courage to develop the character. And that those were two great things about great dads, character and courage. But I said men need something else too, and that's cooperation. And both parties need to cooperate, especially in this area of sexual intimacy. And to me, his cooperation would be doing whatever it took to stop looking at the women altogether. But the woman needs to cooperate, too, and try to, while his need is to be less demeaning and demanding, her need is to be more available and involved and excited about that whole process. And so it's both and, I think.
Mm-hmm.
I think you really both have to make some changes there and cooperate versus he's doing something you hate, you're doing something he hates. And you need to come together on this.
Right.
Because I think the marriages that really, really work and thrive are the ones where this issue of sexual intimacy is finally worked out to where both people are happy with each other.
Yeah.
Versus disappointed.
And Jill, I think as you move towards him, it will open up the ability for the two of you to talk about the issue and for you to come from a place of saying, you know, it really doesn't feel good when you look at other women. But down the road, after you've kind of joined him in that, and then I think talking to him about how it felt when he was a little boy and his mom mm-hmm. was sick, and developing some compassion for him and how that must have felt, you know, that must have really hurt when your mom was so unavailable to you. I can see.
I think it did.
Yeah.
I think it was a very difficult thing for him to go through. I come from a really large family,
mm-hmm.
and both parents, none of them, they didn't drink or anything like that. And he's so jealous, it seems, sometimes of that.
Yeah. Because, see, you know, as a kid, you tell yourself all kinds of things, like, you know, kind of like, when I'm older, this will never happen again type
mm-hmm.
of thing. So when you are unavailable, of course he's enraged. It's like, this was not supposed to happen again.
Really?
Right?
Really? I get that, yeah. It's almost like...
Yeah.
Like he's saying, well, again.
Exactly.
And I'm saying again.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, here's something.
Uh-huh.
Well, you've created some new reality for yourself by calling the show. And I think it would be worthy of a conversation with him to say, you know, I call the show to talk about something. And mm-hmm. I didn't even say anything. And Dave Stoop asked, was your mother kind of sickly? And to me, that might open his eyes a little bit, that it's so obvious somebody doesn't even need to know the details before they
right.
jump out there. I mean, Dave, you really nailed it
yeah.
here,
well,
and I hope that he can look at it.
And it doesn't mean that he can see it, because we don't see our own stuff mm-hmm. like that. You know, it takes somebody outside the system sometimes to point that out. And then it's like, oh, my, yes. You know,
mm-hmm.
it's like it's an insight.
Well, I'm going to send you a copy of How We Love. And, Dave, do you have a book that
Well, send them Just Us, the devotional
Just
for couples.
Us. Okay.
It's a good one.
All right. And we'll get that off to you. Sounds like we're going to have to take a break here before we go to the next call. And if you're struggling in some area, you call us. We're going to be here for a couple hours. 1-800-229-3000. If you want to know about our workshops or the counselors that are available or our drug and alcohol treatment program, it's a simple number to remember and a simple website. It's 1-800-NEW-LIFE and it's newlife.com. That's where you go when you need some help. We need your help too. You know, it's summer, and every summer, well, people, maybe they go on vacation or they forget to give, and we always struggle in the summer. We struggle all year round. It really gets bad in the summer. If you could help us, same place, newlife.com, 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Call now.
I wish I was who you think I am. The one you thought you married. The ideal husband, the amazing dad, the great lover. But my mind is filled with darkness, with images that I can't erase. I want so desperately to be the man you dreamed of, the man I know I can be. I am terrified to talk to you about this, but I want to. I need to. I want us to be close just as badly as you do. Can I talk to you? Can we be totally honest and know that we love each other enough to be open?
At New Life, we've helped thousands of men just like this find hope, healing, and a plan to move forward with their lives through our one-of-a-kind Every Man's Battle Intensive Weekend. Call us right now at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433.
I need help. I want help. I can't do this on my own.
1-800-NEW-LIFE.
Hi, this is Stephen Arterburn from New Life Ministries. We know that Christian counseling changes lives. We hear evidence of that every day.
I feel like I'm a person for the first time in my life. I feel like I wasn't whole before or that I couldn't enjoy life. I had such a big weight on my shoulders that I had nothing to look forward to. I'm such a better wife, and I'm a better daughter, friend, a better worker. I feel absolutely free.
Our nationwide network of licensed Christian counselors means there is help available near you.
If anybody is considering Christian counseling, then they need to do it. They need to take that step.
You don't have to be stuck where you are, but you can't really expect to change unless you take action. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. It could be the start of a whole new life for you. Christian counseling works, and we can help. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE today. Someone who cares is always there at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
We'd love to hear from you if you have a question or comment. Call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now, back to New Life Live.
We're back. Steve Arterburn here. And I want to remind everybody that Henry and I are going to be on the TBN Praise the Lord program on June the 30th. Put it on the calendar.
Oh,
we'd
fun.
Love for you to tune in and then call and say, wow, you ought to have those people on all the time. That's what we're looking for there. I want to talk with Rick, who's calling us from Houston, Texas. Rick listens to us on Sirius Satellite Radio. Hi, Rick. Welcome.
Thank you. My question is around boundaries and maybe just to see if my motivation is right.
Okay.
With my wife, I'm 8 years older than she is, and we've been married about 5 years now. Pretty crazy relationship, but by the grace of God and a lot of y'all,
Why is it crazy?
I'm in it.
Well, that's honest.
At least you admit it.
Good for you.
At least you didn't say her.
Yeah, no. We both had pretty crazy backgrounds, just being, she had pretty traumatic stuff. I believe she was sexually abused, and her family had a lot to do with drugs. My family was pretty nuts, too. I think I'm a chaotic, you know, from my Lenny Case book, which makes things all the more difficult to deal with sometimes. I'm I am, I push extremely hard, and I'm very, I think one of the terms people use is caloric in some of those personality tests. I've done a lot of work to try and understand myself, to try and minimize people's exposure to me, to the negative parts of my personality. I try to work on that, but so that's part of why it's crazy, but I'm always...
What's going on now?
Yes.
What's going on right now?
We have this dynamic where I feel like I am kind of like I'm raising a wife, and I'm always... I run everything. I try to keep her involved, but I make all the decisions because I wouldn't trust a lot of what she would do and with finances and just the general direction of life and relationship. I'm self-employed, so I have to run the business stuff too. And I end up, I don't know how, I'm trying to find out how to get her to come along with me, and I try, but I need to get that book, Boundaries in Marriage, and start reading it. But
well, give us an example, a specific example of something that you've done, and tell us her reaction that really caused a problem.
Okay. This has been going on pretty much since day one. I have some expectations of she stays at home now with our two-year-old daughter, and that's by both of our choice. She's glad to do it, and I'm glad she can. Regular things, there's four or five things I need. I close down pretty regularly. I don't have a lot of time in. She doesn't really keep the house clean, as clean as I'd like sometimes. She does have some medical stuff, real bad migraines and different things. And I try and be understanding of it, but at the same time, there's always an excuse where I'll bring it up. I'll come in and there'll be things not done, and she's apologizing, and I'm trying to be understanding, but those things have to get done. I didn't answer your question.
Let's just take that right there.
Sure.
I think you, given your situation right now, I think you've got to answer a question for yourself. Do I want to have a very clean house, or do I want to find a way to connect with my wife?
Right.
Because if you're lecturing her or telling her stuff has gone undone, you're totally discounting her and what she did do, and it's going to cause a split, a separation. Dave, you have an interesting approach to marriage that I love when you talk about it.
Well, what I hear in what you're doing, Rick, is you become like the parent to her.
Mm-hmm.
And that really doesn't help a marriage at all.
Right.
It doesn't draw her to you.
No, and the key is connecting. And one of the things that I've tried to redefine for couples is this whole thing of leadership in the home. The leadership is indirect, not direct. Because if you try to do it directly, you become parental. So it's indirect. I take 1 Corinthians 11:3, where it says, you know, God is Christ is the head of the man is the head of the woman, and God is the head of Christ. And because that third phrase, God is the head of Christ, there's no sense of hierarchy in this. It's not like I'm in charge, you know. There's that old saying that says, you know, you may think you're the head, but she's the neck that turns the head. And that's you know, she's kind of doing that passively now. If you change the word head to source, you get a different feel for what it is. You know, Christ is the source for the man. That's who he draws from and relies on. And the man is the source for his wife. That's who she draws from and relies upon. Just as Christ, you know, God was the source for Christ when he was here walking on earth. He didn't do anything without, you know, sensing what it is that the Father wanted. So if you can look at yourself, you're already the source. You're already setting the pace. You need to define, how can I set a different pace in the marriage? And forget the word leadership, forget the word headship. Just say, how can I set a better pace? How can I be a source to my wife so that she feels secure and she can become all that God wants her to be? It changes the whole dynamic of it. And you probably need some help with that in terms of either a counselor or a mentor, an older couple that have already done this, to just kind of give you some guidance on it.
Well, if you'll hang on a minute, We'll give you some more help here and talk about leadership a little bit. A lot of people are dealing with this same issue. We'll take a break and come back and deal with it again after this.
I just absolutely believe in the mission of New Life, and I feel that the materials provided and the biblical counseling perspective is so valuable and not available in so many places. And New Life and membership in Club New Life provides access to the live program and also CDs available to listen to. So I know it's easy to turn on the radio and receive the benefit, but those services don't come without expense. And I would sure like to see the program remain on. So I would like to challenge listeners who listen and receive benefit but haven't yet given to actually give this year and continue the giving, of course, because more people need to hear.
Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE and ask how you can start your Club New Life membership today. 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
Hi, everybody. Max Licato here. You know, I've been a pastor for over 25 years, and in the process, I've been fortunate to cross paths a few times with Steve Arterburn and his team at New Life. And I can tell you for a fact that these are good people doing real ministry work where the rubber meets the road. One of the ways they help people is through their New Life Weekend. The Apostle Paul writes about finding the transformation that comes from the renewing of your mind. That's what these folks at New Life specialize in. Whether you struggle with anger, unforgiveness, depression, grief, boundaries issues, maybe you've never worked through the pain of a past abortion, maybe you need a marriage tune-up, maybe your marriage is in crisis. Listen, these good people can help you. Call them today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433 and ask about the New Life Weekend.
We're glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now, back to the program.
We're back. Steve Arterburn here. We're talking with Rick from Houston, Texas. Jill, you want to weigh in on this a little bit from a woman's perspective?
Yes. In fact, Dave and I were just talking a little bit about this, that the whole leading by serving, you know, when the man is the leader, I mean, women are more apt to follow someone who is serving them and who is sensitive to who they are. And I'm curious, Rick, you talked about that you're a choleric from Florence Littauer and her personality types. I would bet that your wife is not a choleric. And I'm wondering what personality type she is. Is Rick still there?
Rick, are you there?
Hello?
Yes,
yeah, we can hear you.
Okay. I have trouble kind of finding it because she is avoidant. I think we get into that victim avoidance stuff, and I try to be real aware, and you know, I'm getting better at you know de-escalation and a lot of that. We've made a world of progress in the last couple of years,
good.
Actually. And
I think Rick that it makes sense that you would want to organize your home, your life, being a take-charge person, and coming out of a chaotic upbringing?
Yeah, exactly, because it frazzles my brain.
Yeah.
I can't even function almost. I have to get the order back before I can...
Right.
...with what I have to necessarily do to keep everything
well, running. I hear that. But if you do it by steamrolling your wife, I don't really think you're going to get the order that you're seeking. You're just creating a different type of chaos.
Right.
And the two of you aren't together.
Right.
So, yes, I hear, you know, your struggle, but I think maybe there's a different way to go about it. And I always like the idea of connecting with the person first. And, you know, really trying to understand who she is and how she operates and what's her view. Because then the two of you would be working more together. And then you could share, gosh, it's so hard for me. You know, I feel so chaotic inside when there's a lack of order. You know, she might be able to come alongside you more if you were connecting with her and really understanding, gosh, this is a woman with a 2-year-old daughter. There's nothing more important she could do than spend time with that little girl.
Right.
And forget about the house. Kids don't remember a clean house.
Well, the other thing is, when you come home with the mindset that you're going to do some cleaning.
Well, it's how can I serve you? Jill and I were talking about what we heard on Sunday at our church.
Yes, we were both the same.
And it was like your first fight ought to be, you know, honey, I want to serve you. No, I'll serve you.
You know?
Right.
And that's a biblical fight. That's the biblical fight. That's Ephesians 4,
you outdo each 5:21,
where you submit to each other out of reverence to the Lord.
I've been doing some of that, but my attitude isn't necessarily right. Part of it is like, look, I can do it, but, you know, why can't you get it done in a whole week that I'm going? I'll drive a truck, and I'm usually home on weekends, but I'm in and out during the week.
That makes it hard.
Well,
yes.
And Rick, because not all people are created equal or exactly the same. What is easy for you may not be easy for her.
And she may already be in that mode of, well, does he love me just so he has somebody to clean up his house? Or does he love me because he really loves me? And so hear people saying, I'm not going to lose weight till I know if he really loves me. And so you may be into that kind of thing. But you're a guy, you're taking a look at yourself, you're trying to do the right thing. Don't give up on that. No, and I think you can make some progress. Dave?
But add to it, really trying to understand your wife. 1 Peter 3:8 talks about, you know, husbands, work at understanding your wives. Mm-hmm. You know, that's an injunction that Peter gives in that verse. So work at understanding her, the fact that you don't know what her personality style is. She probably does. You know, mm-hmm. sit down and talk about it. And listen, you know, just spend a lot of time, as Jill and Steve both said, spend a lot of time just trying to connect and being, you know, in each other's world.
Yeah.
Make that the focus not the house.
But send them.
And bless. Yeah, go ahead.
We got some of the Better Than Ever books. Okay. Send him one of those because it talks about that husband as the source.
Well, bless Rick's heart because I can see him being away driving a truck all week.
Mm-hmm.
And then he comes home and nobody's made an effort. It looks like no one cares that he cares about it so much.
It's easy to draw that conclusion.
It is. And and for him to come home with the suggestion I have, which is the mindset of I'm probably going to need to spend the first part of my time cleaning up a little bit so I can be comfortable here.
No, that's the second part of his time.
Mm. That's tough. The first part is hugging and kissing.
And sitting there and saying, how was your week? You know, tell me what went on. And
eyeball to eyeball.
And too, you know, for a wife, if she's home with a 2-year-old, she struggles with migraines. She has all this unstructured time. Sometimes it's harder to get things done when you're constantly interrupted and you're tending to a child.
And she probably wants to.
Mm-hmm.
And then things just interrupt and it doesn't come about. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. All right. Well, I'm glad you called us, and I'm going to send you Regret-Free Living. And
send him the Better Than Ever book, but he also wanted that Boundaries in Marriage book too. So.
Okay, we'll get that to him. All right. Anybody else? Anyone interested in a resource? It's 1-800-NEW-LIFE, or you can go to newlife.com. We've got some great, great things that have helped many, many people. There's just no reason to be ignorant of issues. Let's see. Here we go to Dave. We had a Jill, now we've got a Dave. Gilbert.
Next we'll
Wisconsin,
do a Steve.
Listens on Sirius Satellite Radio. Hi there.
Hi.
Hi, Dave.
Can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Okay, good. I'll get right to it. I'm a truck driver. How do you quit looking at women? I've cheated on my wife before. We got through that. She loves me. I love her. And I've quit cheating, but I catch myself looking as people go by or some good-looking girls on the dock. I've been praying. I've been trying everything, and I just can't stop looking.
Okay. And
it's not funny.
No, it's not.
It's not.
Well,
it's not. But
I'm chuckling because the Bible says you just pluck your eye out. But then
yeah.
I don't think that's what it really meant.
I've already thought of doing that.
No, you wouldn't be able to drive, so don't do that.
Well, let me ask you this. When you look, are you looking and then are you taking it another step beyond that?
In other words, lust?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
To be honest, maybe sometimes.
Yeah.
Those are the times I'd be concerned about.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And I want to clarify one thing. Temptation isn't sin. To see a beautiful woman and to take a glance at her, you know, because it's hard to ignore her. I mean, that's not the sin. The sin is when you're locked in and looking and observing and starting to kind of dream and wish
taking
and
mental
hope.
Pictures.
Yeah. So this thing in every man's battle about bouncing your eyes really does seem to mm-hmm. be something that works for most guys. Have you ever tried that?
No, not.
Where you intentionally
bouncing my eyes, but
yeah, you say when
pardon me.
You say when I am encountering somebody that's an attractive woman, rather than lock in, I'm going to do the thing that's hardest for me to do, I'm going to look away.
So it's like people watching. You just keep your eyes moving.
Right.
That keeps you from getting to the...
Here's another suggestion, Dave. This one I heard from Gary Smalley. And, you know, when you see somebody like that, say on the dock, a pretty gal, instead of, as you're looking at her, you know, you think of, say, I wonder if her husband treats her nice. I wonder if she knows the Lord. I wonder if she had a good daddy growing up. You know, just kind of, because see, what you're
make
doing
her a person.
Is
yes,
you're.
Yes, I've done that. I've already.
Okay.
Then all of a sudden we make eye contact, and then I get into talking to her like, well, do you know the Lord? And then I'll tell her the plan of salvation and.
Good.
As I'm doing all this, I'm staring at her.
Well, that's okay, but you're not lusting after her if you're talking to her about the Lord. See, when you're lusting after a woman, you've made her an object. She's not a person. If you start talking to them about the Lord, or even you're thinking in your mind, I wonder if she knows the Lord and that kind of thing, you're making them into a person. And that changes the whole dynamic of that.
Mm-hmm. I think that the objectification of each woman, I mean, you're not looking at them because, you know, they're wonderful people. You are looking at them because of body parts, including their face. And I think if you do some work on making women like your wife a real person before anything else, I think that's one thing that helps a lot of people. But we'll talk about it a little bit more right after this. Hi, this is Stephen Arterburn from New Life Ministries. We know that Christian counseling changes lives. We hear evidence of that every day.
My relationships with my husband, with my friends, with my family are much richer and deeper and honest. Particularly my relationship with God, I see Him in a more accurate form and begin to trust Him more. There's joy and there's peace because I have the internal tools that I can trust. So it's radically changed my life. I'm just not even the same person.
Our nationwide network of licensed Christian counselors means there is help available near you.
Take the leap, jump in, and go for it. It's changed my life completely.
You don't have to be stuck where you are, but you can't really expect to change unless you take action. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. It could be the start of a whole new life for you. Christian counseling works, and we can help. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE today. Someone who cares is always there at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
Hi, this is Max Licato. My friends at New Life want to help you find healing and restoration based on God's truth. They have a workshop to help men who are stuck in the entanglement of pornography. They have another for both men and women to deal with any issue you might be facing, anger, depression, grief, or whatever you're struggling with, they can help you. Or if you know someone fighting an addiction to drugs or alcohol, they offer a Christian treatment program. And if you know someone struggling with an eating disorder, They can help you there too. Call them today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433. The Apostle Paul writes in Romans about the transformation that comes through the renewing of your mind. It's God's Holy Spirit that makes this happen, and He's working through this ministry at New Life. Call today and see how you can experience that for yourself. 1-800-NEW-LIFE, 1-800-639-5433.
To find out more information about New Life, or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now, back to the program.
We are back, and it is in July that we do our Healing is a Choice weekend. So many people have been affected by this material and the combination of counselors working with you in a weekend in an intensive setting. If you need some help, if you're stuck or you want to go to the next level, it's Healing is a Choice, New Life Weekend. That is July 26th, I believe. Come and join us. Also, you know, summer's a tough time for us, and people go on vacation and they forget about supporting us. Maybe you, in listening, you could step up and take their place. Maybe you've never given before. If you're interested, if God leads you, call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE or go to newlife.com.
And Steve, when's the next EMB?
The next Every Man's Battle, I'm not sure, but we have one every month. Mm-hmm. So right around the corner.
Okay.
Is the next Every Man's Battle. All right.
Just
well, we're talking with Dave.
People would like to know.
We're talking to Dave about how to stop looking at women. Dave, I want to ask you this. Is looking at women the only thing that you do? Do you ever use pornography or look at R-rated movies and things like that?
I used to years ago. That isn't a problem anymore. The Lord helped me with that. I don't even think about it. I don't even go on the computer because I want to stay away. I don't even want to be tempted.
Mm-hmm. Good for you.
Okay, okay.
Yeah, good. Well, I tell you,
but I get tempted when I'm, like I said, on the dock, or if I go into a truck stop, I sit there and then a waitress bends over in front of you and you can see down her shirt. And it's like, oh my goodness, can't they just cover up more?
Yes, yeah. that's what we try to tell the young girls, don't we?
That is a good point.
Good point. Mm-hmm.
Well, you might want to think
about... I've already said something to a young lady and said, you don't have to show so much. Cover up, because you're making me look.
Yeah, well, I saw on the news this morning, there's a prison in New York where they are so fed up with the way wives come to visit their husbands and how they dress that they have to wear a smock that the prison will give them to cover up because they're just fed up with it. And that pretty soon we'll do that in restaurants and schools and stores too.
Mm-hmm.
All right, now let me just suggest in that case, just take a picture of your wife and put it on the table there. And that pretty much takes you out of the running.
That's a good point.
Maybe trying to get your attention so much. By the way, that Every Man's Battle weekend, that's this weekend in Los Angeles. So come and join us.
Starts Friday.
1-800-NEW-LIFE, newlife.com. There's still room. Well, Connie watches from Chandler, Arizona on FamilyNet, and we're glad she does. Hello, Connie. Welcome to New Life.
Thank you.
How could we help you?
Well, I'm a born-again Christian, and my daughter, who says she is a Christian, who has confessed Jesus Christ as her Lord and Savior, is getting ready to marry an atheist.
Mm.
This is breaking our heart. He's a nice young man, and I think she thinks that she's going to be able to change him.
Mm-hmm.
And he is an atheist. He has told my other grandchildren that Jesus is just a ghost story.
Mm.
And I'm afraid, you know, of how my grandchildren would grow up in a family like that. And he has publicly told me that I will not be allowed to take my grandchildren to church. But she doesn't seem to think that there's anything wrong with this. And she knows what the Bible says, that we're not supposed to be unevenly yoked.
He must be very young. Is he very young?
No, he's 37 years old.
37, and he still thinks that Jesus is a ghost story. Most atheists don't think Jesus is a ghost story. They know that historically there's more proof that Jesus exists than there is that I exist right now. So that's too bad. Mm-hmm. Is your husband involved?
Yes, both my husband and I, she was raised in a Christian home. We were both very active in church.
I've said this before, but your best hope is your husband putting into this boy time and attention and connection. He's 38. He's kind of a boy to me, but probably not.
He's still a boy inside, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah,
but that's where most of the hope comes from, is what your husband can do to connect with him.
Well, him and my husband have a good. He's a very nice man. He's a very nice man, and I believe he really loved my daughter. But the idea that he is an atheist.
Sure.
He don't. When we try to witness to him, and we try, witnessing to him and talking to him about God. He refuses to listen, he brings
Okay, well, don't do that anymore. Build your connection with him and help him see Christ, and that may have the biggest impact ever.
Okay, but she's going to be married in 2 months.
Yeah, there's... Yeah.
Well, but don't give up. I mean, God does some incredible things, and your daughter's not going to change him, but you pray... And God brings things into his life that confront him with God's reality, and you may see a real transformation of him. The more you fight against this, the more she's determined to do it, Connie. That's just human nature.
Yeah, I would almost ask her to tell you all of the reasons
all the
good things about him that has made her feel like this is the one for her. Not that you're questioning it. You just want to understand from her perspective what is the overriding theme of what this man offers her.
And try to be different to him and not treat him like a leper, but to treat him like a young 38-year-old man. I think that's your best hope, that he might have some kind of awakening.
Well... Yeah, and I know we pray for him, and like I say, he's a nice man, and I think, if it wasn't for that issue right there, he would be a wonderful husband to my daughter. I believe he loves her very much, but it's just that issue that I have that, he's an unbeliever, and I don't have any intent, he tells me he don't have any intentions of believing in God.
I know.
And so that hurts me, and she knows the truth.
Though the faith values that you have are not exactly the same faith values she latched onto, or she wouldn't do it, and that's painful. But again, we have to ask ourselves, no matter what our kids are involved with, do I want a relationship with them, or am I going to let an issue cause me to be alienated from both of them? And I don't think that's the way to go, no matter what that issue is. I think you need to build a relationship.
Well, and this is a guy that needs the love of Christ.
Oh, yeah.
Demonstrated, not just talked at him. Because for someone to latch on to being an atheist so strongly, there's a lot of hurt there.
Sure is.
Right?
All right. Yep. Let me send you a copy of, let's see. Trying to think of a great book, Regret-Free Living. I'm going to send that to you. I hope that that'll be a blessing to you. And anybody else, you can get that at 1-800-NEW-LIFE or newlife.com. We need about 75 new Club New Life members for us to hit our goal for June the 30th. If you've ever thought about giving, it's a great way to give and become part of the foundation of how we stay on the air. So please do that if at all possible. Club New Life, we send you CDs every month. People love those CDs. I make one just for the Club New Lifers. You get discounts on products and other benefits. So call us if you can. And again, if you've never given, this summer would be such a blessing if you stepped up and helped us get through the summer doldrums, where, sometimes people that are very faithful and regular, once on vacation, they're not able to give. They don't have access, or they don't think about it, whatever. You could step in and fill that gap. If you can do that, it's 1-800-NEW-LIFE or newlife.com. 1-800-NEW-LIFE or newlife.com. For all of us here at New Life, we love you. Everybody that went on that wonderful trip to Israel, sure do miss you. It was a wonderful, wonderful time, and hope to see all of you, interact with you, and intersect with you real soon. Until tomorrow, bye-bye. Take care.
Thanks for listening. We hope this program has helped you by getting you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life.
We want you to know that we're here for you. But you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1018, Laguna Beach, California, 92652. Please join us again tomorrow for New Life Live.